Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to God's Bishops of Divine Guidance Ministries. Our mission in this ministry is to repair the breach in the walls of the body of Christ where failed leadership with poor judgment and character have caused the breach and failed the body. We believe, as Scripture states in Matthew 6:33, that we need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things that we crave will come afterwards. I'm Archbishop Bernadine Turner, your host this morning, welcoming you, our listeners and supporters, thanking you for joining us once more again today. Well, it's a glorious day here, and I'm just ready to roll. The Holy Spirit and I have been talking, and He's been teaching and showing me, and I've been doing the things that God has called me to do. So let's move forward quickly because we want to wrap this up today. We're talking about, once more and again, the restoration. Is there restoration for Louisiana, or will it get worse? You know, we keep watching these it's on every airway. I mean, there's very little that you can see. It's all in the newspapers. It's all in the media. You know, we've got CNN and NBC and CBS and, you know, just every manner of media that is keeping track of what's going on down here in New Orleans. And I need you to know that even though there are other things that are going on in the world, okay, there's earthquakes and divers, different situations in different places, and you name it, and it's actually going on. But there's something that's going on here in Louisiana, and we need to understand that this nation was built on In God We Trust. It's even on our money, okay? Even though they try to keep religious stuff from the state stuff, you know, they're trying to do that, and they've put up laws in the nations that you can't mix the two. But I'm sorry I came too late to change it. This nation of the United States of America was actually built by people who believed in religious freedom to serve God as they chose to do it. Now, all of this foreign stuff that's come in, this nation was a Christian nation formed. You need to understand that. And when we have allowed other people bringing their gods into our lands, you understand? We have opened up a keg of worms. And with that came the world's idea, all right, of how it's okay to do your thing any way you want to do, okay? I mean, the Isley Brothers, who I worked with in the 70s, when I got them television and motion picture situations, they saying, it's your thing, do what you want to do. I can't tell you who to sock it to, okay? Now, we laughed about that, but they were speaking of something that was very spiritual that was coming about, even though it was before them, but they were actually voicing it like none other. Do you understand? And a lot of the rock stars and rhythm and blues people were telling you what was going on in the world, okay? But we thought it was wonderful that we had the freedoms because we connected that with freedom, and we did not understand what freedom really is. You understand? And I'm going to have to talk at some other point in time, about freedoms. But when freedom and the freedom that you want and that you desire takes away from and goes against the word of God, now you're back in bondage. You're back in bondage, okay? Freedom, it was to be to serve God and to do what God created you to do, to have a voice, not to go against righteousness, but that voice is supposed to speak and preach and tell and proclaim who God is. And see, if you get a people together and all you do is start proclaiming who God is and all you do is start proclaiming the righteousness and being in right standing with God, now you've got a group of people that are not going to do things one to another. Do you understand? See, you've got to see the bigger picture. See, when we allow God's laws to be broken and we stand down and say nothing about it and we continue because it doesn't personally affect us right at this moment, do you understand? Now you have allowed people to go in and transgress and supplant. Do you understand? We're going to talk about some supplanting today, okay, and some transgressing. See, we need to understand, you know, as the Holy Spirit moves, we need to understand that God set us up not to build empires for ourselves, but to share the wealth of the riches for all people. He didn't mean that just a few people were going to become multimillionaires and that the regular people who are the ones who are supposed to plow and to plant and to reap the harvest and to do these different things. It was for all of us to share. See, we're supposed to pay those of us who have the land and who have through purchase and whatever, not by ungodly measures. See, whenever you put something into place that's ungodly, you've already broken the laws. When you start supplanting others, when you start doing the things that God did not tell you to do, then what you have actually done is you have put in place a set of rules that go against God's rules. You understand? And so then you put yourself up on a level in which now you become God. Do you understand? And when you put yourself in God's place, now you've faltered. You've altered. See, that's why David was successful. As long as David worshiped God and praised him and did the things that were righteous that God told him to do, then David was safe. But when David set out to supplant Bathsheba's husband, okay, and take upon himself a wife that, and he could have any woman that he wanted to. But see, he could have done it right by going to God and saying, I desire this woman. What can you do, Lord, to help me obtain her? Maybe God would have released him, this woman that David was looking at, okay, from her husband, and maybe the man would have brought her personally because God made him put a burden on his heart that you need to be for David. God has told me that you need it, so I'm going to give you to David. How do you know how God was going to work that out if you had gone to God first with it? Do you hear what I'm saying to you? When you put things to your hand that you're not supposed to put to your hand to do, then God, you have broken God's laws. When you break God's law, those are penalties and punishments for breaking God's laws. Now let's go on back to Jeremiah 9 so I can finish this thing off. Because, frankly, I'm tired of talking about it, whether you know it or not, because God is showing me what he's going to do, and I'm a prophetess, and what he says, and I don't care what you write me, I don't care what you tell me, I don't care whether you agree with me or not agree with me. I want you to know that this nation was built on In God We Trust. And when you go past In God We Trust and start trusting man and start trusting BP and start trusting Anadarko Petroleum and all these other people, I need you to know that God is going to move his hand. And when you start using witchcraft against God's people, you're going to be dealt with. When you start speaking out into the atmosphere where she don't know what she's talking about, and that is not a spiritual thing, that you're going to be dealt with, because this is spiritual, because it happens in the spiritual world before it manifests into the flesh. Now, don't you know as many of these oil rigs as they have out there in the world today, in these different gulfs, not just this gulf and these different gulfs and all these other places, don't you know that those people are experts at doing what they do? Okay? And yes, they do cut shortcuts. But if they were righteous people, God would have fixed it so that they could have repaired this before spoiling the land. But because they are a wretched people, because they are greedy, okay, and gluttonous in their spirit, it's never enough for them. Do you understand? They are making themselves God, and God is getting ready to do what? Bring them down. He's getting ready to bring them down. All you have to do is watch the television and the satellite dish and on your desktops and laptops. You're going to see them be brought down. They're already starting to tell on themselves. Don't you understand what's happening here? Stop talking about this is not spiritual, because it is. There is an upheaval, okay? And every one of these people are running for cover, trying to protect the interests of their assets for their people that buy into the stocks and bonds. Okay? They're doing all manner of things now, trying to hide their subsidiaries. They're doing all kind of manner of things, trying to stop. And they think that I'm nobody. That's what they think. And let them think that, because I am nobody to them. But I'm an awesome woman of God to the God that I serve. I want you to know this morning that God is on the throne, and he sits high, but he looks low. And he's looking to the one that proclaims his word and decrees and declares according to his upstanding and right standing with God. And when you have a relationship with God, he says all you have to do is come to him and ask, and it shall be done for you. I'm telling you what I know, not what I think and not what I see. I'm telling you I see things that are in the spirit world before they happen. And God has given me the gift to do that, and I'm proud to be the recipient of that gift. I'm proud that he has taught me who he is so that I can worship him, because I am not a God unto myself. I am only a servant of his, proclaiming his word. So now let's go. We left off yesterday when we were talking about a spouse, and it's in the second verse. Oh, that I had, this is Jeremiah talking about, that I had a place in the wilderness. We talked about that on yesterday, and a mere shelter for the wayward man, okay, and that I might leave my people and go away from them, for they are all adulterers, rendering worship to idols instead of to the Lord, who has espoused the people to himself. Now, I want to talk to you for a minute about that word, espoused, okay? Now, espoused, now God's saying he's espoused them to himself. So what does espoused mean? Espoused means to adopt, to take up, to support the cause or the doctrine and a particular line of action. So God is saying here that he's the one that has adopted us. He has picked up our cause. He has picked up our line of action. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? This is deep. I need you to understand that if you belong to him, he will pick up your cause. He will support what is important to you. Do you understand? Because he has already told us he's going to give us the desires of our heart. So if God is going to give us the desires of our heart, and if my heart says, Lord, I want my inheritance, and no one else in the family has ever stood up and against these idolaters, okay, I have stood up against the idolaters, and I am in my 60s. So I want you, Lord, before I close my eyes, to give me my inheritance so that I can do your will for the people that you would like me to do your will for. Do you understand? It's not just about me, because God has provided for me. It's not that I want my inheritance to just rain on me and to make me bigger than Oprah Winfrey or bigger than life itself. It's not about any of that. It's about doing my purpose, fulfilling my purpose. Do you understand? I am a person that do not want to stand before the Lord and have him say, depart from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. That just, I cringe. The hairs on my arms rise up when I think about it, and I shudder that I have to be so very careful not to maim and not to say the wrong thing and to keep my heart pure and in right standing with God so that he can give me my inheritance so that I can go to my purpose. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know that part of this that I'm going through is only a test to see if I understand and I get it, and I do get it. See, this thing is not to be squandered on yourself. It's to be passed on to others who are striving for their purposes. Some people don't have an inheritance to be able to do to finish their work. So it's up to those who do have an inheritance to share with those who don't. That's what this thing is all about. That's where love steps in. See, you don't understand. Love is not just a feeling, my brothers and sisters. Love is not this goo-goo-eyed thing that one, you know, that's lust. See, we need to understand what true love is. True love is helping our brothers and sisters when we see them and in their plight, when we see that God is doing a work with them and they need assistance and they need help. See, love is when you give your all. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I might have to give my all. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? So that I can help somebody else that God is crying out to him that needs assistance to fulfill their destiny. And see, once I fulfill my destiny by doing and obeying what God said, okay, then I've got what I want. And guess what I want? To hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's all I want. That's all I want. I don't want anything else. So stop writing me, trying to get me to do other things that God is not interested in me doing, because I have no interest in them. I don't have any interest in this fleshly stuff. I don't have any interest in trying to be married. I don't have, see, and I don't want to say this, but we've got to see what's real. Do you understand where Juanita Bynum was? And what happened? Because that was a desire for her heart to get married. So you need to understand there's a place and a time for everything. And if you have a desire, sometimes the enemy will send people to you to destroy your ministry. Sometimes people, the enemy will send, and most times they will. And let me tell you something. Every time you cry to God about something, know that the enemy is going to send you three or four different things to try to get you off base before God sends you the things. Most of the time, God doesn't answer you right away. I need you to understand that, because he will say, because he did it to me. He's a supplanter. Remember, whatever the purpose is, it was Jacob's purpose, but what did Esau do? Esau supplanted Jacob, even though, I'm sorry, it's the other way around. Jacob supplanted Esau because Jacob knew that he was chosen. Okay, even in his mother's womb, he knew he was chosen. But guess what? That wasn't what God wanted at that time. Do you understand? So Jacob supplanted Esau, okay, even though Jacob was the favored one. But that's the way it is, okay? So I need you to understand the spiritual annotation to this thing. We need to know that when things come about, you scrutinize those things, you pray about those things, just because they look good and it answers seemingly the prayer that you pray, don't jump on the bandwagon until you pray thoroughly about that thing, because there's so many Jacobs out there. There's so many people that God did not send at this time. Do you understand? The enemy will send, I call them representatives. So whenever I used to go through a situation in a marriage or in a relationship of some sort, I would look back afterwards and say, no, the person didn't come themselves. They sent what? A representative. Okay, they sent their representative. And the representative always says all the right things, does all the right things for a period of time until they get a grip or a hold upon you or a marriage license on you or a contract with you of some sort. And then the representative leaves and the real person stands up. Do you understand what I'm saying? So let me move on. So it says that God has espoused his people to himself. So he's adopted us, and he's going to take up your cause, and he's going to deal with the line of action in which you're going in, okay, because that's what God wants to do. He wants you drawn to him. He wants you into his kingdom, okay? And he says, but you need to know this. They are a gang, okay, these adulterers. These people who are people who, and remember I talked about an adulterer on last time on part two. These adulterers are people who have gotten a situation, all right, but yet that situation is not good enough. They're going to go over there and get your situation too. In other words, the grass is always greener on the other side. That's BP. You mean to tell me they can't find any other offshore drilling anywhere else but over here in the Gulf? Do you understand what I'm saying? But guess what? They did that because they had a partner to do that, and Anadarko Petroleum, who is trying to remove themselves from this situation and stand down away from this because they don't want this to touch them. And Anadarko is the person who's also on the land that I have in Vernon Fields, who have lied and said that they're still not taking oil and gas from my property, which they are, even though they are doing it through the use of subsidiaries, and they're still not paying me. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're doing this not only to me. I'm just telling you what they're doing to me. I know what they do, okay? I know I have experience. See, we can talk about what we read. We can give opinions. But unless it's your house that they're in, you can't really say anything about it one way or another. You can just give an opinion. But what I'm telling you is fact. I'm not talking about an opinion. We're past opinions with me. I need you to understand that I'm talking about what they actually have done in the past, and I have written proof. I've gone to every court in the state of Louisiana, including their Supreme Court, and I have taken this as far as the United States Supreme Court in Washington, D.C., which they kicked it out when Bush was in, when he put in Alito. That's what I'm talking about. That's how deep this is. This is not just this little gulf thing and a top blew off, some explosions. Okay? This is my client out along with others. I'm not just saying I did because I don't know what other people are doing. I can only tell you what I've done for the past 8 years plus. Okay, and I say 8 years because that's actually when I started, but I've been crying out for my inheritance for many years. Do you understand? And then when I received my last lease, that's when I got serious to crying out. Do you understand? And when I say crying out, I used to pray about it, but then I went from praying as I grew to crying out. So let me move on. So then it says, and they bend their tongues, which is their bow, for the lies that they shoot. Can't you see all the lies that they're telling? BP's telling lies. Our state's government's telling lies. Our congressman, our representative. And then they've got other people. The oil companies are lying, okay? And this, the lies are just, they're just spewing out, and they're shooting their bows, okay, of lies, okay? And not according to faithfulness do they rule and become strong in the land. See, they didn't become strong in the land by being faithful. If they were faithful, they would have paid me my money. Do you understand? And all the other people that they have gotten leases from that they have not paid. If they will be faithful to their word, because on the documentation on the lease, they said that they would pay. Do you understand? But they were not faithful to the papers that they signed. They were not faithful to the landowners. So if you're not faithful to the landowners, how do you think that God is going to continue? See, you started off breaking your covenants. So how do you think God is going to continue to let you, the beast that you are, continue to grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger? God, you're not going to get big as God. Trust me. God is bringing you down. That's why this spell is going on, and that's what I keep trying to tell people. Okay, then it says this. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know and understand and acknowledge me. See, they don't acknowledge God. They don't acknowledge God. This is about getting the oil, and that's their focus, and you never hear any of them saying anything about how God has blessed them. All they talk about is their new exploits, and then they brag and they boast about how wonderful it is and how much oil that they're getting, never saying that we're in the United States and we're going after other oils because we only have X amount of energy in our country. But that's a lie. We have more than enough resources in this country to do everything we need to do. Don't you know that God wouldn't have given us this land, okay, if it was not filled with milk and honey? Come on now. Get to it. This is America is one of the richest lands that ever was. Don't you understand? And on the money is in God we trust. Whatever country has put on the money in God we trust. Don't you get it? We've had so much, but we've squandered. And we have allowed bad people and set back and allowed bad politicians to go and did not make them accountable because it did not touch us right then. Well, it's touching us now. Know this. This is something that's been long coming forth. This is a spiritual thing that has been coming forth for a long time. And people have set back, and because nobody told them that they had oil on their land, they don't care. Well, excuse me, don't you know? If you cooperate with somebody else who is a godly person who's crying out, don't you know that that person, if they're godly, is going to share with you the riches if you'll stand with them? Don't you understand? Okay, but, of course, the reason I'm preaching to leadership is because leadership does not what? Do what they're supposed to do. They're making money on the people. So it's round and round we go. Where we stop, nobody knows. But I know, and I'm going to get ready to tell you where we're all going if we don't change. Then it goes on to say this, okay? He says, we don't acknowledge him. Then he says in 4, let everyone beware of his neighbor and put no trust in any brother. Every brother is a utter and complete supplanter, okay? Now, I just for the record, I've looked up supplanter. A supplanter, as I've already told you, is a person who supersedes another, especially by force, cunningly, to take the place of the original person. That's a supplanter, and that's what we do. And so when we're in church and we've got a pastor and the pastor has a following, okay, everybody makes the pastor paranoid because everybody wants to be the pastor. Everybody wants to be the pastor's assistant. So the pastor sees all the supplanters. So what does the pastor, what does that cause the pastor to do? Become paranoid and afraid. So he stops allowing people and he shuts people down and he stops laying hands on people and sending them out 2 by 2, as the word says to do, okay, and to form their own churches because he's afraid that they're going to outpreach him and take all of his members. That's the bottom line. And then he, once the members are gone, then he doesn't have any support, okay? But see, we shouldn't worry about that because if we had jobs or whatever else we needed and we trusted in God, we wouldn't have to worry. Because guess what? When you make disciples of men, men are supposed to go out and do the same work because it takes all of us together to do this work. So if you've got a problem with that, why don't you get a job and they'll get on Blog Talk Radio or some of the other places that are free for you to speak, okay, and so that you can do the things that you need to do for God but not worry about being housed in large edifices, okay? Just open up your house and your doors to have no more than 50 people and allow somebody else to do the same. All right? Let's do the work and stop raping God's people. All right, let's get it real. We're talking about let's bump it up a notch. This is it. Let's bump it way up a notch and stop doing what God didn't tell us to do. He didn't tell us to build large edifices. He told us to spread the gospel. If we stop doing all this edifice stuff and get centered on spreading the gospel, even if you have your doors open and people standing outside to hear you, okay, you can do this and still do it in reasonably and still use the bulk of your money to do what God has called you to do. All right? Let's keep this thing real. Let's move on because I've got a, oh, I got 32 minutes. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for saying, intervening and doing what you need to do. Then he goes on to say this. Okay, that this one takes by, okay, we talked about him taking the heel and trips up, okay, and he's a deceiver. Let's talk about a deceiver, okay? This supplanter is also a deceiver. Now, a deceiver is one who practices deceit, okay? And deceit is to mislead, to persuade oneself or someone else to believe something that is not true. He's a trickster. He's a fraud, okay? And so that's what these people are doing. You see this every day. It's somebody else coming on the tube lying and deceiving and trying to take the blame away from one person and put it on somebody else and to try to say because they don't want their stocks to fall. These are deceivers. This is the deceit that goes on here. It's in the church. It's in the world. Deceit is everywhere. And listen to what it says after that, okay? And they deceive, okay, these people, all right? They deceive. And they mock. Okay, so let's talk about mock for a minute. Mock is to imitate, especially in order to ridicule, okay, disappoint in order to make someone seem ridiculous, all right? So people do that to me all the time. They say I'm a fanatic. They say, oh, my God, she rants and raves all the time. But guess what? I'm ranting and raving, trying to get your attention, warning you what's coming down the pipe. Don't you understand? I'm not just ranting and raving just to be ranting and raving, okay? But they say these things to intimidate me and to shut me down, Okay, the oil company does the same thing because they pay people to stalk. And wherever I go, if they crowd me out, after a while, I get so tired and weary of being crowded out and whatnot, I'll stop going to the store to buy. So the whole idea is do a mental beat down for me so that I will stop moving and having my being and stop telling people who they are, how they are, and how they operate. And it's so sad because the people that they are using are lowly people that need jobs. These are people that have been laid off. These are people that are dirty also, that have jobs that in their spare time, because of their greed, they want to make extra money, and they've convinced them and persuaded them through being a deceiver with their deceit, saying that I am not for this country and whatever else, whatever they're telling them, okay? Because I've actually had people to talk to Bishop and I, and after they talk to Bishop and I, and they realize that I'm fighting for my inheritance so that I can not build edifices for myself, but that I can share the riches to those that God appoints me and tells me to share for his glory, okay, to spread the gospel so that because the end times are upon us, okay? So when they realize what we're really all about, they stop taking the money. And they've told us we're not going to do this anymore. They've told us to our faces. So if FBI was really interested in helping us, then they will go and find these people, and they'll actually tell them who and what the situation is and who is a part of it and where it's coming from. But you see, we're talking about deceivers, right? We're talking about deceit, and we're talking about mockery, you know, to make one seem ridiculous. A false sham, a fake battle. In other words, there's nothing going on within. That's a fake battle. They're just doing this for attention. No, no, I'm not. Everything that I'm saying, I have proof of. And all you have to do is pull up my name, Bernadine Turner, okay? And you will see, if you go to Google and pull me up, you'll also see in the Supreme Court where I have filed, and you can read the complaints. You can read the filings for yourself. Do you understand? So anyway, BP is versus Anadarko is a sham. That's a fake battle between them. But why? Because they're in bed together. They've already signed contracts. If you, like I said yesterday, if you go on Anadarko Petroleum's website, you'll see where they have scheduled, they filed papers, and they've done other things with the stock exchange and, you know, and the commission for the stock exchange and all of that, so that they can try to remove themselves so that they don't get a hit from this BP situation, okay? There's these judges, I talked about that yesterday, who own interest in these oil and gas explorations. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I'm telling you who these people are down here in Louisiana and why this is going on. All right? This is only history, biblical history repeating itself. Then he goes on to say this. He said, these people are also, beside them being a Jacob, every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Okay? They do that. All right? And they deceive and mock everyone his neighbor and do not speak the truth. All right? They're not speaking the truth. They're not telling what the situation really is. He says, then they go on to say that they taught their tongues. Okay, to speak lies. They actually taught their tongues to speak lies, and they weary themselves committing iniquity, okay? And iniquity is great wickedness or injustice. They continue to do that, injustices, injustice on top of injustice. And then it goes on to say, your habitation is in the midst of deceit. In other words, the place where you live is actually in the midst of this deceit, okay? And I am, because the majority of the people that are in my neighborhood where I live are stalkers. The majority of those people have aligned themselves with the oil and gas companies, okay, and with the oil and gas agencies, okay, and commissions, and a lot of these people actually work for those situations. So they're giving them the information, and that's why they're able to come and go and do the things, and nobody's going to step in and do anything. But I need you to know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and no every tongue that wags against me, God is going to sure to be in the wrong, because this is the heritage of the saints, thus said the Lord. That's scripture, okay? So I don't have to worry about them doing me anything. I know they've set up situations that on a daily basis almost most times at least three or four times a month. Sometimes on the week there's two or three times during days and different days of the week. Helicopters actually come and hover over my house. That's an intimidation tactic, and I understand what it is. But I've gone out there and pointed my hand to them and spoken God's word to them. They're going to keep on one of these days, and that plane, that helicopter is going to fall out of the sky. Do you hear what I'm saying? With those people who have been sent to do that and to aggravate and to make noises and to hinder and to impede, they're going to fall out of the sky. I decree and declare this day as I have other days, and I've spoken that upon them. Why? Because they don't have to do that to me. What they have to do is send me my check so I can go to my purpose. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what they're supposed to do. And send the other people their checks so that they can do what God has called them to do. Do you understand? So that this thing can stop and go back and fall on your knees and do what God has called you to do and stop maiming God's people and stop taking from God's people, causing their lives to be changed. You see, I was supposed to be a different person doing different things in this world because God already knew my heart and where it was going, and he had already dealt with me as a young woman. Do you understand? So God knew he could trust me because no matter if I stumble here and there, I'm still going to come back to my purpose because that's what's in my heart. I have an unmixed heart toward God. Do you understand? God knew who he was dealing with. That's why he could trust me, because he had already seen in the foundations of the earth that out of my lineage was going to come me. Just like out of God's lineage, out of Jesus' lineage of David and on down, that Jesus was going to come out of David's lineage. Don't you understand? God already knows all these things. They just have to play out. They just have to play out. Do you understand? He's already put all this stuff in place. He already knows. He's just given those who refuse to come to him an opportunity to come. That's all this thing is about. That's all this journey is about, to get us to turn from our wickedness and see and that God will adopt us, okay, and take us to where he wants us back with him. Then he goes on to say this. Okay, we've talked about the inhabitants, okay? And then he says, they oppress, and it's oppression upon oppression and deceit upon deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know and understand me, says the Lord. See, if you're deceitful, you're not going to understand God. And you're not going to want to know God, because those areas in which you are deceit, that deceit grows strong, and it's against God's word. So every time you read something that talks about how God wants you to be, that deceit gets disturbed, because you don't want to turn that deceit loose. So there's no way possibly that you can possibly know God. You can't know him, because that deceit is not going to allow you to know him. Let's talk about oppression for a minute. Oppression upon oppression. Oppression or the word oppress. To treat with unjust harshness, that's oppression, okay? And that's what these people have done to me. See, it's been unjust, and it's been very, very harsh for them to impede my progress, because I still have to go to my purpose. Whether they allow it or not, God will have to fix it, and that's why I cry out for God to fix it so that I can go to my purpose, because within myself, I can do nothing. I can't do anything. It's too many of them, but I have to fight them in the spirit world. I have to send the angels to stop them and to do battle in the spiritual world so that I will have a way of escape to do what God has called me to do, okay? And this oppression is sent to rule over you as a tyrant, to cause you to feel mentally and spiritually burdened. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? That's what oppression is for. It's to cause you to feel mentally or spiritually burdened, or to physically as though suffocating, to press against. So sometimes this thing becomes so suffocating with all the people that come around us. As soon as we go in a store, they just bombard the store. Even the store owners and the clerks in the store have said to us, my God, our business was so slow. There was no one in here. It hasn't been in here for days. And as soon as you guys come in here, every time we have watched, every time you come in, these people just rush in, and then they're all over you. We've paid attention to in our cameras. We've looked back over the cameras to see how these people have run in and bombarded you to the point that you had to say something and tell them to back down. You understand? Because, see, I'll tell you, you need to back down. I know you're getting paid, but you need to back down. Go on another aisle. Do whatever you have to do for your income, oh, you wretchedness of people, okay? And I understand that you do, but I'm praying for you that God will give you something so that it's a word in your heart, okay? And then I tell them to go listen to some of my messages so that they can change their hearts, because God is the one that brings the increase. It's not man. You can go to the wicked to get them to help you, but guess what? God is not honoring that. And all you're doing is selling your soul to wickedness. What is that? The devil. So don't go pile up in the church, okay, and cry out to God, because he doesn't hear you. Don't you understand? Then he says this. Through their deceit, they refuse to hear him, you know, and they don't understand him. And that's what the Lord says. I'm not saying that's what the Lord says. Then 7 says, therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts, behold, look, I will melt them by the process of affliction. God said he's going to melt you by the process of affliction. Now, what's affliction? To trouble or distress, to inflict grievous physical or mental suffering, okay, on you. And then the dictionary says, unusually the older or the downcast, all right? That's what the dictionary says. But I want to tell you something. In this particular spiritual situation, I'm going to look at this spiritually. It doesn't have anything to do with the older or the downcast. When God afflicts, remember, God is above these oil people. God is above these mortgage companies and these banks. God is above all these people. And like I said, he sits high and looks low. He sees that they have maimed you. He sees that they've placed you in situations that have burdened you so that you, in order to have you a place to live, they have caused you to spend all of the little money that you did have. And in order for this heavy interest that the world charges, because remember, God says he doesn't want his people charging interest, okay? He doesn't want you to lend that way, all right? So that should tell you something. So if you pay any interest, you're not dealing with godly people. Know this, all right? So he says that he's going to afflict these people, all right, with distresses. But it's not the older and the downcast here that he's talking about in this that he's going to do. These people he's talking about is these uppity, arrogant, okay, hoarders, these people that are oppressing you. Now God is going to oppress the oppressor. Do you understand what I'm saying, okay? And then he says that he's going to do this. He's going to oppress them to remove the dross. So let's talk about dross for a second. Dross is the scum that rises to the surface of molten metal. In other words, it's anything that's worthless. And because God looks upon these people as being worthless to him, because they oppress his people, to God, these people are worthless. Because what? They are idolatrous. They are adulterers. They are adulterers to God because they're going after what God tells us not to go after. Because God says, if you go after me, I'll give you the increase. But when you move God aside and start going over after other things, then you actually have become adulterers for those other things. Do you understand? I don't know if I can make it any plainer than that. And then he goes on to say, after he afflicts you, he's afflicting you to remove, afflicting them to remove the dross and to test them. See, God has given them a test. When he starts, now BP's at test, and Anadarko Petroleum is on test, and every other oil company is on test. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because they all are being found out. Now, guess who else is on test? All of our leadership in these states, the governors, okay, the congresspeople, the representatives, okay, our House of Congress is on test. Everybody that's in leadership, including God's servants, are on test at this time. I need you to know that. Because, see, as the people are being hurt by the oil spills, and Katrina and whatnot, then now they're not having the money to give to the church. Do you hear me? This is a spiritual movement of the hand of God. And so now he's testing the leadership now that's over the church. Can you handle it when you don't have the money to pay your mortgage for your huge edifices instead of having meager edifices just to house the people, okay, and keeping things in perspective to the membership that you have so that you will have an abundance, so that when your membership starts losing their jobs, you will have way to help them with keeping their homes and whatnot. Come on now. That's what this thing is about, building the body of Christ, not building yourself up. That's what this thing is about. When you start building yourself up, now you've become the oppressor. I need you to know this. This is a spiritual thing. I got to move quickly. Oh, God, it's so much, and I'm, oh, Lord. Now, okay, it speaks deceitfully. These people speak deceitfully. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth. Okay, that's these old people. They speak peacefully with their neighbor, with the ones, with the media, with the ones who can speak against them. Okay, with people in power, they speak with their mouths peacefully that we're going to handle this. Oh, we've got money set aside, and we're putting money in accounts to take care of your situation, and we're not going to let this, we're not going to just drop the ball and let this bill just be like it is and whatnot. We're going to handle this situation, okay? But in his heart, he lays snares and waits in ambush for us. Do you understand? That's what they're doing. They have no intentions. They only do what they have to do to keep this thing squashed so that their monies, they don't lose. These people don't start selling. The people who own their stocks and bonds, who have fronted the money, okay, bought into the companies, they don't want them to lose their money, because once they start, the stock market starts dropping, people start bailing out. Okay, that's what they start doing, and taking that's left. They'll take a certain amount of hit for a loss, but then they take their money and put it into other areas that don't have this same kind of risk. Now this thing has become too risky for them, and they don't want that to happen. None of the oil companies want that to happen, all right? So then they go on to say this, but they wait in ambush at a certain time so that they can rise again, okay? Shall I not punish them for these things, the Lord says? Okay. Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? All right. See, United States, you have allowed these people to come in from every other nation and do their bidding and praise other gods on the land, which we have said in God we trust. Okay. That's what this thing boils down to. And you have allowed them to have freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and freedom from all these different things. Do you understand? But it never should have been freedom from serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, it should have been that you can serve him any way you want to serve him. You can call yourself Baptist. You can call yourself Methodist. You can call yourself Catholic. You can call yourself Church of God in Christ. You can call yourself whatever you want to call yourself, okay? But the basis of what you have set yourself up should never go against the word of God, the Bible, because that's what this nation was built on. Then I drop down to 11. It says, I will make Jerusalem heaps of ruins, a dwelling place of jackals, and I will make the cities of Jerusalem a desolation without inhabitants. Don't you see that's where this is going? Can't you see that if this water keeps, this starts happening and kills all the fish and it stops all of the labor in this particular area, that eventually that's going to affect all of the rest of this state, and this state is going to become, especially with all these refineries here, and this, and you can't breathe the air here, but yet the commission keeps allowing people to drill all over this state and to do the things that they do, but yet, my people perish for a lack of knowledge, okay? Then he says that I will make the city of Judah a desolation without inhabitants. Who is the wise man who may understand this? Who is he? Who is this wise man that understands this? To whom has one mouth of the Lord? Who has the mouth of the Lord spoken? That he may Declare it. I'm one. I don't know about the rest of you out there, but I'm one that declares. I'm God's mouthpiece, okay? And that's why I don't care anything about starting a church. I've started churches before. I've helped build ministries before, and I will continue to do that as long as God gives me grace and the ability to do it, okay? I'm not into edifices, but listen to what he says, that he may declare it, that I may declare what's going on, and whoever else may declare it. Why is the land ruined and laid waste? Declare why it's ruined and laid waste. We're not supposed to be sitting down just taking this and listening to what the media say and having opinions one with the other. We're supposed to be speaking out. We're supposed to be calling our congressmen. We're supposed to be calling the people that we're supposed to be calling so that this thing can end, okay, so that God can finish with this movement and get to the remedy. I've got to get to the restoration before I close today, okay? Then it says this, like a wilderness, so that no one passes through it. See, that's what God is getting ready to do. He's getting ready to make this place like a wilderness, Louisiana, so nobody has any interest in passing through here. It's nothing here but the refineries and the oil spills and the desolation of this city, so that nobody, this place is not going to be an inhabitant. Because like they say, if we have an earthquake, we're going to have oil all over this place. And if we have oil all over the houses, all over the shrubbery, okay, all over nature here in this state, we're going to have to get up out of here. Why? Because we're not going to be able to live in a place where the oil is there. I've got less than 10 minutes. I've got 8 minutes left, and I've got to cut this. Okay, come on, Holy Spirit, do your work. Then he says, and the Lord says, because they have forsaken my law, I will set before them, and they have not listened and obeyed my voice or walked in accordance with it, but have walked stubbornly after their own hearts, okay, and after the Baals, as their fathers taught them. See, their fathers have taught them to do this. Therefore, listen to the words, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood and give them bitter and poisonous water to drink. Do you hear what I just said? Poisonous water to drink. Go over to Revelation chapter 8, verse 10. Now, this is Revelation when the seals are being opened, okay? I'm not saying whether this is a seal being opened or not, okay? But what I'm saying to you is God repeats himself. Remember, God is a person that he always sends his prophets before. That's why I say be careful about what's sent to you, because maybe they're not what they're supposed to be for you until God sends you who he's supposed to be. In other words, God sent many, many prophets before Jesus came on the scene, because God wasn't ready to send prophets. He was sending the prophets to go and tell the people and declare how they are to live before he sent his son Jesus, because he knew his son Jesus was going to have to die on the cross, because he saw that they just refused to turn from their wickedness, their wretchedness. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So that was the whole purpose of Jesus coming, was to turn the people, bring salvation, to turn them back to God, to show them a way and to forgive them of their sins, because they just could not do it. They were too wicked and wretched a people. So 10 says this, the third angel blew his trumpet, and a huge star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. Didn't this oil spill look like burning from a torch under the water? Didn't that look like a torch burning with that copper color? You know, whether it was mud, gas, oil, whatever they said it was, did it not look like a torch burning, okay? And it dropped on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. Now, we don't know what happened to make this thing falter. We have what man says, but we don't know what happened to make this thing look like a torch underwater. But look at what 11 says. And the name of the star, is Wormwood. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third part of the waters has changed into wormwood, and many people died from using the water because it had become bitter. Okay? Tell me that's not what's going on there in the waters. Okay. Let me go to wormwood. Let's talk about wormwood for a minute. because I only have 5 minutes left. Okay, wormwood. An aromatic perennial, okay? It's a woody plant of Europe and Asia, yielding an oil. That's what wormwood is. And this oil that it yields, wormwood means bitterness, because this oil that it yields is bitter, okay? It means bitterness. It means bitter mortification, okay? And we know that to be mortified means a source of humiliation, bitter humiliation, okay? It means a source of humiliation brought about. This is a source. In other words, this oil, this wormwood oil, okay, is a source of humiliation brought about to subdue passions. It's brought about to subdue passions, bodily desires. That's what this is brought about for. Now, this is deep. I need you to get to it. It's a source of humiliation brought about to subdue passions, bodily desires, by discipline. Okay? So, to hurt, it's used to hurt or to wound the feelings. It is sent to humiliate. Okay? To become gangrenous. You know, root word gangrene, okay, which is an eating sore caused by disease or by injury or by poisoning. Do you get it? Do you get it, my babies? Do you get it? Do you understand that this thing is brought about, okay? That's why it's called wormwood. Now, listen to what it says about wormwood again. I will feed them, even the people, with wormwood and give them bitter and poisonous water to drink. Okay? Then he goes down. Let me go to 17. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider, okay? Pay attention to, all right? And call for the mourning of women to come and send for the skillful women to come and let them make a haste and raise a wailing over us and for us. Don't you understand the purpose of women? Part of the purpose of women, and those of us are going through all this, but yet we don't want to deal with women, okay? Now listen to what he says. For sound is wailing, and it's heard coming out of Zion. And then he says, yet hear the word of the Lord, O you women, and let your ears receive the word of his mouth. Teach your daughters a lament, and each teach his neighbor a dirge. For death has come upon into our windows, and it has entered into our palaces, cutting off the children from outdoors and the young men from the streets. Speak, thus saith the Lord, the dead bodies of men shall fall like dung. Okay? And then he goes on and read that for yourself. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise and skillful person glory and boast in his wisdom and skill, and let not the mighty and powerful person glory and boast in his strength. Okay? But do this. But let him who glories glory in this. Listen to what you glory in. That he understands and knows the Lord, okay, and practically, directly discern and recognize my character. That's what the Lord is saying. Stop going to all this other stuff. Stop dealing with all this stuff. Recognize my character for who I am. Know that I'm over everything. Know that I am the God that faileth not. But okay, now he says this, but I have to do this because I have 1 minute left. This is the remedy. And you go over. Okay, just a few seconds I have. He says this. The people murmured against, this is Exodus 14. The people murmured against the water. They murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Now, this is the remedy, okay? But so the Lord is going to show the prophet, the leader, what. But we have to heed to and believe that that's what God is sending, okay, and not overlook it, all right? And he showed Moses a tree, which he cast into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. So see, God's got to prove us before he can do this, okay, saying, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and you will do what is right in his sight, and will listen to and obey his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I, this is what the Lord say, will put none of the diseases upon you, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Okay? Yes, I am the Lord who heals you. Well, my brothers and sisters, know that that's the remedy, but it's going to be the man of God or the woman of God that he's going to show the remedy to take care of this, if it is, if the people will turn from their wickedness. Well, it's been another day's journey, and I'm so glad about it. I thank you for joining me again on today. I thank you and bless you, and give us a call, write us, I don't mind the emails, because it is another day's journey, and I'm so very happy and glad about it. So what I want you to do, my brothers and sisters, make it count in Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God.